Hey friends, welcome to Girls Night. I'm Stephanie Mae Wilson and I am so happy that you're here. Each week I have a girlfriend over and we talk through one of the biggest questions we have about our lives as women. We're talking about friendships and faith and relationships and self-confidence. About our calling in life and how to live every bit of our lives to the absolute full. Life is so much better and easier and absolutely more fun when we navigate it together as girlfriends, and I cannot wait to get started. Now, before I tell you guys anything else, I have to say, this might be my favorite episode of the podcast we have ever done. The wisdom you're about to hear is absolutely life-changing. Ever since we recorded this episode, I've been dying to share it with you, and I am so glad I finally can. But let's back up a little bit. Today, we're talking about prayer. Now, can we be honest for a second? Prayer is hard. It's confusing. We're never sure if we're doing it right. For some of us, it might come a bit more naturally, but for others of us, no way. It feels totally awkward, and don't anyone dare ask us to pray out loud in public. If you're anything like me, you might also find yourself asking big questions about prayer. I find myself asking those questions more than ever in moments when I've been praying about something for a really long time, and it feels like nothing's changing. I find myself asking, does God even hear me? Is he listening? Is all this praying making any difference at all? And on particularly hard days, does God even care? Friends, if you've ever asked any of these questions, or if prayer ever feels like a struggle for you, or if you're like me and this is an area where you'd love to really grow, I am so excited to introduce you to this week's guest. Our guest this week is Crystal Evans Hurst. Crystal is a mom, a writer, a speaker, and an encourager who teaches people to love God, to love others, and to love themselves. She has a new book out called The 28-Day Prayer Journey, and I am telling you what, the wisdom she is about to share in this episode is game-changing. I cannot wait to share this conversation with you. But before we dive in, while we're on the topic of prayer, have you heard about my new prayer journal? I just wanted to make sure you had. It's called The Between Places, 100 Days to Trusting God When You Don't Know What's Next. I love this journal because it's a powerful, practical way for us to connect to God in times when our future feels really uncertain. Through guided prayer prompts, The Between Places will help you trust God with the trickiest, most uncertain, and most important parts of your life. It'll help you believe more fully than ever that God is good, that he loves you, and that he's taking care of you. It'll help you live today with more contentment, step into the future with more courage and faith, and rest in God's peace knowing that he's with you every step of the way. To order a copy of The Between Places, head to smaewilsonshop.com. That link will also be in our show notes. Okay, now without any further ado, let's hop into my conversation with Crystal. Friends, I'm super excited for who I get to introduce you to today. I'm sitting here with Crystal Evans Hurst. Crystal, thank you so much for coming on Girls Night.
Thank you for having me, Stephanie. It's great to talk to you.
Crystal, I have to tell you, I was in a small group maybe 2 years ago for like a whole spring with this really incredible group of women. And we went through your book, She's Still There.
Oh, great. I hope you all enjoyed it.
I know. We really, really did. But it was so fun to read. It was so good. The discussions that we had were so good. And so, yeah, I've been meaning to have you on the show for a while. So I'm glad that we're finally doing this.
Yes, me too. Me too.
So for women who don't know who you are yet, can you tell us who you are, what you do, and a fun fact about yourself?
Sure. Well, I am the daughter of a pastor and a sister of a gal who speaks too, and Tony Evans and Priscilla Shire. I'm related to them. So that's always the fun fact when people go,
I'm making connections here. Yes.
I'm making connection. And then the other thing is I'm a mom and a wife. I've been married for about 20 years. I have 5 kids, ages 28 to 11. I have been a mom all of my adult life. So that's a big part of it. I'm also a grandmother, although I'm told I don't look like that. So I'll take that. I homeschool, but I am also a speaker and an author, and I'm usually on a stage somewhere speaking 20 to 30 times a year. I've written 4.5 books. I think I'm working on 4, and then there was a half because I authored a book with my dad. But I basically believe in encouraging women, both in their faith and in practical ways, to live for everyday life. And so I do that through my writing, through books, through speaking, but also podcasts, blogging, everything we do on social media. And then I also love gathering women together who have expertise in areas that I do not, and creating a space where all of the information that we need to live lives in one place. And so I've also got a website with lots of different courses for women to take for the how to. Okay, I love Jesus, but how to do these kids every day or how to be successful in my career and move forward. So that's a little and a lot about all the things that I do.
Okay, Crystal, so you're basically a superwoman.
No, I don't know about that.
That is such an amazing list. That's incredible. And I love that you said the thing about how to, you know, I function so much that way too, where it's like, okay, like I love Jesus and I have that foundation, but like, what does that mean for like my, you know, for years I was asking, what does that mean for my dating life? Like, exactly. God doesn't say anything specifically about online dating. So how do I apply what he says to this? And like, you know, practical, what does that look like? And, you know, I'm asking those questions about all kinds of different things. And so that's why, you know, that's really why my show came about, was just, those are the questions I was asking at girls' nights in my own friendships. You know, we're talking about like how to like keep your, I don't know, everything from like how to set up your living room to, you know, in a way that it functions well and is cozy and is beautiful and things like that, to like how to pray and what that looks like and how to be a good wife and, you know, things like that. So I love that you are, I don't know, think like practically and in steps and things like that too. That's awesome.
Yes. Practical. I love practical application of the truths that we study and that we believe to be true, but how do we work that out in our life? And that's what I'd love to be a part of.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, so I'm super happy to have you on the show today, because today we're talking about something that is incredibly important, but also really nebulous, and that is prayer. And so I have some really specific, like, okay, so what does this look like though? Questions for you today. But so kind of to kick things off, you recently came out with a new book, The 28-Day Prayer Journey. Can you tell us about that? Like, what is the book about, and how did that come about for you?
Sure. Well, my sister was actually starring in a movie called War Room. It's a movie about prayer. And the same year, she had also written a book called Fervent. She dedicated it to my grandmother, and my grandmother is was a praying woman. She had a spiral notebook where she would write all of our prayer requests down. And then when you would see her, she would say, so, you know, how's this going? And you would say, oh, it's great, because, you know, this happened and this got answered. And she said, well, you have to tell me, because if you don't tell me, I don't know. And so I keep praying for it. And I thought in that year, just with all those thoughts swirling in my head about what was happening with the movie, the book, thoughts about my grandmother, I just thought, I don't have a problem talking to God. I do have a problem talking to God consistently and showing up consistently to keep those lines of communication open. And so I wanted to work on my routine of praying, my habit of praying, because the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And so I figured, if I tell the world I'm going to do it, then I'll do it. So I said, let me go on this 28-day prayer journey, and I'll write prayers and put them on Instagram. And this is back when Instagram was chronological. And so I posted 6 prayers a day, and I invited people to pray along with me. I said, hey, every time you open up your feed, you know, I'll have a prayer there, you know, an early morning, mid-morning, afternoon, evening, late evening, and then bedtime. And so hopefully that will help you when you scroll and you see these prayers to pray too. And I'll be praying, because I've committed to put these prayers up for you every day, multiple times a day for 28 days. And so after I did that, people said, can we do that again? And so sometimes it was a 28-day journey. Sometimes it was a 7, made an ebook out of it. And then eventually I was talking to my publisher one day, and they said, you know, we hear you always talking about this prayer journey. Would you like to make that a book? And I was like, I guess so, but I don't know that there's that much content there. And I went back, grabbed all that stuff from Instagram, and there was. So that's kind of how it came about. But I wasn't trying to write a book. I was just trying to encourage myself and others simultaneously to pray with more consistency.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's so funny how things that we, you know, I think that we always imagine that big things like books or giant steps in our careers or just any sort of big leap we see someone else taking, that it happened, like we knew it was going to happen that way. Like we planned it that way, you know? And really, I think that so many of the big things in our lives start by little steps of obedience or, you know, I'm trying to learn this in my life, so I'm going to take a tiny step out. And I just like kind of wanted to stop there for a second, because I think, you know, for anyone who's wanting to really do anything, like grow in any way or make anything or build anything, it's like, it all starts with that, with just a blog post, or it all starts with, you know, gathering two girls at your house because you need that community. You know, it all starts with like really little things. And oftentimes we have no idea what those things are going to turn into, but we don't get to find out unless we get started. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I agree. I think often the big things happen because of little small things that we did along the way, not these Hail Marys. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to give ourselves more credit about the small things that we do. We're always building something, maybe not a book, but we're always building character, developing relationship, creating our story. And those things happen with the small things you do and that you do well and do consistently.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, so, you know, you mentioned that you have never, like, you don't have a hard time talking to God, but you've had a hard time talking to him, like, consistently. Can you kind of back up and tell us about prayer in your life? Like, what, you know, has prayer really always come easily to you, or, you know, has it been a struggle? And was there kind of a moment when you realized that prayer was like, I don't know, did you have any sort of prayer turning point? Does that make sense?
Yep, it does. I think, and in fact, I told my dad the other day, we were having a discussion, and I just thanked him for always listening to me. I was a teenager that needed to process out loud a lot, and he was very patient in listening. And I said, you know, that's why I think I don't have a problem believing that God hears me, is because you were always ready to listen. So I don't recall a problem with talking to God. However, I do have very marked moments in my early 20s when I was really having a tough time in life and was just, well, I'll back up a little bit. In the sixth grade, I remember having kind of that odd kid in the class feeling. And I had this journal with me, and a lot of those journals at that time were prayers. And I really felt like God was all that I had. And so I just talked to him all the time. And I wrote down a lot of those prayers. And that came out of, I believe that God hears me and I'm going to take advantage of it. But, you know, in my teenage years, you know, there were years where I was busy and living my life and not necessarily slowing down to talk to God the way that I should. My early 20s, though, I was 19, I got pregnant in college with my first daughter. So that was another circumstance where I just felt like, you know, I needed to be connected. I needed to talk to him. I felt very alone, and I needed to communicate with God in a way that was honest and raw, because I needed help. I needed his presence. So I do remember those two times as being times where I was able to touch the heart of God and for him to touch mine. And I physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally felt his nearness. And so I've never had a problem doing it, but those are two times where I remember feeling that I was in a sweet spot. And many people have said to me that the places where they are experiencing the greatest hardships and darkness is the places where they have gotten to know God in a way that they never would have had it not been for the dark place. And so I've found that to be true in my life, but we don't have to wait for the dark place in order to be connected with God. And that's where the consistency and communication with him comes in. He's always there. We just tend to, you know, hyperventilate during those difficult seasons. And we're like, where are you? And he's like, I've been here. So we feel closer to God because we're drawing near. And James 4:8 says that, you know, draw near to God and he will draw nigh to you. He doesn't move. We're the ones that have to draw near, and hard times typically do that. But those are two times where I remember, you know, that specifically.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. You know, before we get into all of my like super like, okay, what does this look like questions, do you, and you just mentioned like one instance, but what does scripture say about prayer? Like both how to do it and kind of what God promises when we do.
Yeah. So the Bible, like I said, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says to pray without ceasing, which, you know, can we actually do that? Pray nonstop every day. So we're really talking there about a principle of prayer, that the lines are always open, that we have this constant ongoing ability to communicate with God all day long, any day, about anything, for however much time we're setting aside to talk. Now, that said, God did give us guidance in Matthew 6, where the disciples said, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, okay. So then when we have these components of prayer that we want to be attentive to, the fact that we do want to acknowledge who God is, that we do want to be thankful, that we do want to ask for forgiveness, that we do want to ask him to meet our needs, that we do want to make sure that we're all about our requests being about his glory. So there's this formula for prayer. But what I've found is that people get married to the formula and they're like, if I can't do it with the same liturgy that somebody would do it, you know, in a church service that's doing a formal prayer, if I can't pray the way I've heard somebody else has been walking with God for 30 years pray, if I don't pray in this exact order, then I'm not praying good. And I think that Jesus wasn't saying, here's how to pray for us to be legalistic. He was saying, like, here's an example. You know, here's an example. When I cook, my mother was a great cook and taught us all how to cook well, all of her four children. But the way I make my macaroni and cheese has a little bit of something different in it, you know, because I've played with some different recipes over the years. And honestly, sometimes I make the macaroni and cheese out of the box. Sometimes I'm going to go to Whole Foods and get these gourmet cheeses and make everything from scratch. And so there are these different ways I make macaroni and cheese. Now, she taught me and she gave me a prescription, but that prescription was never designed to be a limitation. It was designed to be a starting point so that what I need as I need it, I can do. And the basis of how to make macaroni and cheese, I have because she taught me, but it doesn't limit me to all the different styles, ways, flavors, noodle types, cheese types that I can throw in there. And I think we have to look at Matthew 6 and the prescription for prayer the same way. Just because God said pray like this did not mean we have to repeat that every single time we open our mouth. It means it gives us a basis for prayer. And so those would be the two examples that I think the scripture gives us that give us a starting point for what to do.
I love that. So what is, like, what does God promise about prayer? Like, does he hear us every time? Like, does he promise to answer our prayers? Like, I'm so glad that it gives us a place to start. And anything that can be compared to mac and cheese is like really great in my book. But yeah, what does God promise? So we show up, we pray, and he says he will do what?
Well, 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. John 9:31 says, we know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. 1 John 5:15, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So God is listening, and he will answer. He doesn't always answer the way that we want to or the timing in which we would like him to answer, but he is always hearing us. And the Bible says also that God is like a father. He's a good God who desires to give good gifts to his children. And you know, if you're a parent listening, that you want the best for your children. You want to not only give them the best, but you want them to give them what is the best thing that won't harm them in the time that they need it so that they can live and live well. And so the reality is if we believe that God is a father who desires to give good gifts to his children, if my children ask me for something and it's in my power to give it to them, of course I would want to do that. But if he's not giving it to us, then there's something he knows that we do not know. And that's what we have to believe. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And so if he's a good God, even Matthew 7:11, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So all of these say he hears me and he will give us good gifts. The problem is we don't always know what's the best thing for us. We think we do, but he's the only one who can see the end from the beginning. Because he is the Alpha and Omega, he knows the beginning from the end. And often what we ask for, we want now without a view for how that impacts our future, our posterity, our connectivity, and what God is developing in us. And that's where when we pray, we just simply have to trust.
Oh. Guys, I need to tell you, Crystal was not reading those verses. That is like, you weren't, right?
No.
Okay. So we all like, just everyone make a mental note, like I'm doing right now. Like, this is goals to know, to have scripture written on our heart that like deeply that we can just pull it out like that. And that's so, like, that's such a great example of why it's so important for us to do that, to spend time in God's word and to meditate on it and to memorize it, because there are moments when you need it, you know, when you're like, okay, God, I've been praying for this thing forever and ever and ever, and you're not answering me, and it feels like you're ignoring me, and like, have I made you mad? Are you like, are you good? You know, we just kind of find ourselves in this spiral, but having those truths written deeply on our hearts, those are the moments when you need to be able to pull them back up to go, no, actually, this is what is true. This is what I feel like, but this is what is true, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's right. I had a friend who was very sick, and she said to me, she saw me, I think I was doing something online, teaching my kids, we were memorizing scripture. And she said, oh, keep doing that. She said, because at the time when I was the most sick, and I didn't have the strength to reach over on my nightstand to pick up my Bible, the verses that were in my heart and in my mind were the ones that I learned when I was a young girl with my mother, the ones that were engraved deeply in my soul. And there's, you know, this space that you have when you're a child to learn the scripture. So teach them. But I want to encourage people who are not, you know, who weren't raised in a Christian home, or who didn't have that experience, or who just didn't have the discipline to memorize scripture. And now you're listening and you're like, yeah, I should have done that. It's never, never too late. I think when life, as we get older, life gets busier. But if you craft and create the time and you dedicate the time, just like anything else that you do that you get to learn or get to know, you can memorize scripture in your life at any time, and be intentional about it, because a lot of the scriptures that you learn become the basis for your prayers.
That's so good. That's so good. Well, so, you know, backing up a little bit, you know, you were talking about praying really, like, honestly and vulnerably, and I think that we get trapped sometimes, exactly like you said, feeling like, well, I don't know how to pray like that pastor. I don't, you know, my prayers don't sound that good. Or, you know, God is huge and big and holy and the creator of the universe. Like, how could I ever talk to him about this tiny little thing? Or how could I ever be like fully honest with him? Can we, like, are we allowed to talk to God really candidly?
I don't know any other way to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that that's what keeps people from talking to God, is they think it has to be pomp and circumstance and the words have to be crafted. I just talk to him like I would a friend. And maybe, you know, that's something that I've been able to do because of my design. I'm just kind of an authentic, honest person. I'm not a person of great pretense. And maybe it never occurred to me that I was supposed to do it any other way. But maybe that's also why I feel very comfortable talking to God, is because I'm myself. I don't feel like I have to come in any special way. Now, I do know that a part of the prescription for prayer is being grateful, thanking God, and giving him praise. And I know sometimes I feel like I run out of things to praise him about. I'm being repetitive. And that's where the Bible comes in handy there too, because when you don't know what to say, pick up the Psalms. There's lots of things that you can pray in the Psalms that will give you words for praise if you don't have them, because we're tempted to come to God in prayer with all the things we want, right? And then we're like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be grateful for it, so let me do that. And then we don't necessarily have all the words for that, but that's where the Psalms comes in handy, because you can say, you know, oh, bless the Lord with me, magnify the Lord together, you know, Psalm 34. So you can use the Bible to help you pray, but just pray. Just talk to God. Abraham and Moses were both referred as talking to God like they would talk to a friend. And so that has gotten lodged in my mind as a way to do it. But when you read the Psalms, while the Bible never says that David talked to God like a friend, it does say twice, 1 Samuel 13 and Acts 13, 22, that David was a man after God's own heart. And when you think about the fact that the majority of the Psalms were written by David, and many of those Psalms were just plain honest. Where are you? Can you please save me? You've got to be kidding me. You know, I'm afraid. Can you help me? But also, thank you so much. You've been, I mean, there's this gush of emotion where David is like, I'm just here pouring out my heart, trying to live. And I think, I believe that he was a friend too. So friend means I could just talk to you. And David's example of what conversation with God looks like speaks to great friendship too. So think about how you would talk to a girlfriend. Remember that you are talking to God. So every now and then, make sure that you're throwing in some praise, because he can do a lot of things your girlfriend cannot. But at the same time, at the same time, once you get to the part where you just need to talk, just talk. Keep it simple.
I love everything about that. I'm with you, Crystal. I don't think it ever occurred to me. I feel like when I first met Jesus, like I was a mess. I was in such messy circumstances that it never occurred to me that like, and I think that that was of his design, because if I could have met Jesus and like become a Christian in a moment that felt where I felt kind of put together, I think that like that's a struggle for me anyway, remembering that God loves me not because I'm put together, but that he loved me when I was the biggest mess ever, and that he still loves me today as the biggest mess ever, you know, even though those kind of messy places have changed a little bit. But I mean, I was just a wreck when I met him. And I just think that that's been so helpful, because it just never occurred to me, like, he just never gave me a chance to impress him, you know? And so I just get to talk to him really honestly, because it's almost like, who am I kidding at this point? But there's so much intimacy that comes from that, from just talking to him like a friend. And I actually was in the Psalms this morning, and yeah, David, like, I'm just so grateful that those are in there, because David is all over the place. And like in the course of one Psalm, it blows my mind how he'll be like, God, you are holy and worthy, and you are the creator of all things. And like, and you know, you are mighty to save, and you're all these different things. You're so big and you can do anything. But also, like, there are these people and they're mad at me and they hate me and they're going to hurt me and I'm scared and I need you to take care of me. And also, I'm a really big mess. Like, I really, can you please like guide me, because I'm, you know, all these things. And also, where have you been? Like, I mean, he just is so honest. And I'm just super grateful for that example that we get to follow.
Absolutely.
So what about praying boldly? This is something that I've been learning about for, I don't know, the past like 8 years or so, is what it looks like to pray boldly and specifically and like without ceasing. And I think that a lot of us are afraid to ask for specific things from God, because one, it feels kind of selfish, like giving God this Christmas list where it's like, who am I to ask God for like anything, you know? But also because I think that when we're asking for something that we really care about, it's scary to bring that to God, because what if we ask him for something he can't give us? Or what if we ask him for something that he won't give us? And so we're setting ourselves up for disappointment, or we're setting God up to disappoint us. Or what if we ask for the wrong thing and he gives it to us? And therefore we like, should we just say like, your will be done about everything? What do you think about? That's kind of a mess of a question right there, but I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Sure. Well, I think that, you know, we have to understand that it's our job to ask. It's God's job to answer. And often with my kids, they come to me and I can tell they're afraid to ask me something. They're kind of mouseying around it. And, you know, they're like, you know what? I'm like, just what are you saying? Just say it. You know, just say it. There are some things that God will only activate in our lives when we ask for them. Prayer is a part of our engagement with God. And while he can certainly give us great things and do great things in our lives without our input, there are some things that God is only going to do when we're participating with him in prayer, which means you need to ask for what you want and be specific. How can we experience answered prayers that give God glory if we don't ask? So a part of the glory of God is his people saying, look at what God did in my life. But we're not going to say that as often if he's not doing things in response to our requests. You know what I mean? Like, the sun comes up every morning and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. And I tell him so when I see a beautiful sunrise, I think, God, oh, this is beautiful. But he's going to do that for me, whether I ask for it or not. He's doing it for the whole world out of love and out of his consistent character. But if I ask him for a home and I give him my list, so I want it to have this many bedrooms and this many bathrooms. I want it to be this many square feet. And I would love for it to have this kind of stove in the kitchen. And if I'm telling him these things, then when he answers my prayer, then it erupts. It can erupt with the glory of God coming from my mouth, because it connected, his answer connected with my request. You understand what I'm saying? It's we were designed for worship and praise, and we're going to praise and worship something or somebody. And our ability to connect our worship and our praise with God and his answers means that those answers have to be connected to our requests. So engaging with God in prayer is a part of us engaging and experiencing God's glory, because we get to see his specific answers to our prayers, but only if we pray them, which means we have to be bold in coming to God in prayer and not apologize for the desires that we have. God is at work in us and through us to work things out in us for his glory. He is involved in our sanctification. He is involved in the process of growing us up, and his involvement in that requires our communication so that we can see what he did in response to our connection. The Bible tells us over and over again to be strong and courageous. Joshua 1:9, to be courageous, Psalm 27, and he will strengthen our heart. But courage also involves us being bold about what we are going to ask for. And Hebrews 4 says, we should come boldly to the throne of grace so that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help us. Now, is God going to withhold mercy and grace from us if we don't ask? No. However, if we come boldly to the throne of grace, that gives him greater opportunity to dole out on us the mercy and the grace that we need. So I think that you have to understand that if my sons want to play video games, like, that's the thing. It's not that they can't do it. It's not that I won't ever tell them that they can't, but sometimes them coming to me to ask is the reason why I say yes, because I wasn't thinking about that in that moment. And while God is not limited like I am, our asking is our participation in him saying yes. And if you want to hear more yeses from God, then come to God and ask boldly for more things.
Oh my gosh. So everyone just rewind 3 minutes and play that again and again and again. Crystal, that's incredible. I've never thought about it that way. And I'm super grateful for that perspective.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Friends, springtime is finally here, but that also means allergy season is in full swing. I have always struggled with allergies, and I don't know about you, but I am especially allergic to cats. More on that in a second. Well, luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. The time that I use Claritin the absolute most is when I'm at my parents' house, my childhood home. They have this absolutely beautiful cat that they love and I like, except for the fact that he sheds so much. So that means that I'm basically sneezing from the second I arrive home to the second I leave, unless I take Claritin. My dad has even started having it ready for me right when I walk in the door. Are you ready to live life as though you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Claritin, thank you so much for sponsoring our girls' night. We love having you. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. As many of you know, I recently wrote a book, and while it was the most rewarding project of my career so far, it also came with a lot of hard work and long nights. And sometimes when things started to feel a little bit overwhelming, I needed to get a few things off my chest so I could clear my mind and keep the writing process flowing. And the thing that helped me so much to sort through those feelings was therapy. Now tell me if any of this sounds familiar. Maybe you're going through something really hard right now, a big loss or a gigantic life transition. Maybe you frequently feel anxious, depressed, overwhelmed, or just generally discouraged. Maybe you really, really, really want your life circumstances to change, but you don't know how to actually change them. Or maybe you're feeling stuck as you try to work through your past, navigate your present, or figure out your future. Friend, if you can relate to any of this, you're not alone. I've been there, and therapy has been the thing that has helped me more than anything else with all of this. In the last 10 years or so, I've learned that strength isn't proving I can do it on my own. It's knowing that I don't have to. I'm at my strongest when I have a full support system around me, and an essential part of my support system is therapy. Therapy can be absolutely life-changing. That is, if you can afford it and find a therapist you like and trust. But of course, this is easier said than done. And that's why I'm so excited to be partnering with this week's podcast sponsor. Our sponsor for today's episode is BetterHelp. BetterHelp is the easiest and most affordable way I've ever found to find a great therapist. It's entirely online and super easy to sign up. You can get started right away, and if you don't love the counselor you're paired with, switching is easy and it's free. If you're going through something hard in your relationships, or if you're in a funk you just can't shake, if you've been feeling anxious or depressed lately, or if you're feeling stressed and you need help balancing your everyday life and schedule, BetterHelp is an incredible resource for you. And I'm so thankful that they've given me a promo code that I can share with you to make it even easier to get started. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/friendship today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/friendship.
So if we're asking for something that God doesn't want us to have, he's going to say no, right? Like we can ask knowing that we have some like guardrails, like your sons. I mean, they're older now, but like when your kids were super little, if they asked you to touch the hot stove, no matter how earnestly they asked you or how, you know, sweetly they looked at you or, you know, like puppy dog eyes or anything, nothing in your heart is going to be moved to let them touch a hot stove because that's bad for them. And like God's the same way, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we know that just because our kids ask for it doesn't mean we give them an automatic yes. We answer with a yes if it's going to be good for them, if it's not going to harm them. And we know a lot more than they do. And God is the same way. We can't see his no's as he doesn't love me or he's not there or, you know, he doesn't have the power to do it. We have to see his no's like we would see the no's of a good parent, which is he knows something I don't know, or there's something that he has that's better for me, or he's at work to do something that's maybe not even about me, but giving me what I want will not be good for the bigger picture. And so if we trust God that he is always working things out for our good, which Romans 8:28 says, then we have to trust his, you know, rejoice in his yeses and still continue to trust him in his no's.
That's so good. What about when it comes to specific prayer? Like I love the house example I'm living in an answered prayer. Like I've prayed prayers over the places that I live and prayed for different things and gotten to see God say really beautiful yeses, which is just so cool. But like, I think we still feel a little squeamish being like, am I allowed to ask for like a gas stove instead of a electric stove? Or, you know, am I allowed to ask for that fourth bedroom? Or like, at what point am I kind of treating God like a genie in a bottle? Or like, you know, at what point am I making like kind of a selfish, really long Christmas list? How do we gauge that?
Well, I think that the problem with asking for things only becomes a problem when that's the only point of communication in the relationship. Again, our connection with God is relational, and prayer is the communication for that relationship. In my relationship with my husband, if I'm only coming to him and saying, hey, can you stop by the store on your way home? Hey, can you fix this thing on the back of the house? Oh, hey, can you make sure that the kids do their homework? If I'm saying, hey, you know, can you, you know, grab this for me or do this for me? It's not that he's unwilling for me to give him requests. The problem comes if that's the only part of our communication. Because every now and then, if I'm going to have a great relationship with my spouse, I need to say, hey, thank you so much for being so consistent in, you know, praying for us or taking out the trash or picking up the water, putting the water in the water bottle, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. Thanks for doing that. I really appreciate that. I don't even have to ask you. You just take care of it. That's a part of relationship. There would be no relationship if I never said, hey, I'm so sorry. I know yesterday I was tired and I was irritable and I snapped and you didn't deserve that. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Or if I never said to him, listen, this is the way I think we should do it. I think we need to put this, okay, let's just say we're going to buy a couch. I'm going to get this couch, but this is what I think is the best. I've gone to these three different stores. I've outlined all the details and here's what I think. And this is what we should buy. The end. Versus saying, hey, this is what I think, but you know, this is your house too. So what do you think? Are you comfortable on this couch? And I'm willing to yield or surrender or, you know, keep looking if this, what I've chosen, is not what you would choose as well. Relationship means, and that's where the acronym comes from in the book that I put together, the 28-day prayer journey, is pray. Praise and give thanks, repent, ask, and yield. Every now and then in a great relationship, beyond asking, which is the A, you should praise the person, give thanks to the person. You should repent or say, I'm sorry. You should yield and say, listen, I've got a way I want to do this, but if you've got another way, I'm here for it. Tell me about it. Include me in the plans. When you include all of the facets of communication, which is what Matthew 6 did when Jesus did that, then you are allowing communication to be a part of a relationship, not just a demand for what I want.
That makes so much more sense. Like, you're asking for the specific thing you want. You're participating and you're giving God a chance to answer, to like show you that he's really specifically answering your prayer with that, you know, gas stove. You know, if that's really important to you, you're asking for it and he gets to show up and really delight you and surprise you and remind you that he hears you specifically and that he's there, through answering that prayer. But through yielding, you're giving space to say, but also like, I really care what you think as well. And I'm also willing to do things I want your input as well. So here's what I think, but also I really value your input and I want to hear you weigh in as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's important. God is God and we're not. So we ask for what we want. And then we have to say, okay, God, but you know better than me.
Yeah. Yeah. Crystal, what about, you know, I think a lot of our prayers are like, God, what do you want me to do? You know, like we, the future feels so uncertain and so scary and we want to do things right. In some ways, we want to choose the path of least resistance, or if we're going to choose a path that has a lot of resistance, we want to make sure that it's like resistance with a purpose, I guess. And so when we're trying to make a big decision about, you know, it starts a long time ago, you know, do I go to this college or this college? Do I do this major or this major? Do I take this job or that job? Like, do I move to this side of the country or that? Do I marry this guy or do I say no? Am I ready to have a baby? Like, you know, all these huge questions that we're faced with, we want to do like what God wants us to do. What does the process of asking those questions look like? And do you feel like he always has a really specific, like a really specific answer in mind?
Well, I think that first of all, you know, Adam and Eve were in the garden. God was their father. And he said, do whatever you want. Don't eat from that tree. Okay. And then even in that, he gave them the choice, even not to choose him. So I want you to understand that God delights in you choosing. And some of the things that we pray about, not that we shouldn't pray about them, but we shouldn't stress out about sometimes just deciding. Like if I go to my closet and there's a red dress and a green dress, I'm like, God, okay, which one should I wear today? You know, I'm standing there waiting for heaven to open and, you know, the angels to come down and alight upon my shoulders to tell me, is it the red dress or the green dress today? I mean, even though that's a silly example, we would all say, just choose. And the principle that God does care about is this modest. That's what God said about what I wear, and that it's not distracting or that it doesn't take away from what he wants to do in and through my life or misrepresent him or my walk with him. Apart from that, pick. So some of the things that we stress out about, God is like, pick, because I actually delight in your choice, your choosing. And I created you in my image, and a part of you being in my image, I'm a creative God who gets to make decisions. When God said to Adam and Eve, when he created him, it said, let them rule. So I just want to empower every person who's listening to know that a part of your God-likeness is being able to just make some decisions because it's what you like to do. You know, There is wisdom. And the Bible says in James that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives freely without reproach. So yes, ask God. But I just want to take this weight off that everything has to be this like answer from heaven, right? But 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all of the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. So what does this mean? God is saying yes, unless he's saying no. So if he didn't say no, because that whatever you want to wear is not modest. If he didn't say no, because this man that you love dearly is not a believer, and he says, don't be equally with unbeliever. If he didn't say no, sex outside of marriage is not right. If he didn't say no, you're supposed to be a good steward of your finances, and you're not supposed to be a borrower. You're supposed to be the lender, not the borrower, the head, not the tail. If he didn't say no, the answer is yes. And then you get to pick and you get to choose. Now there is wisdom, and that's where the Bible also tells us in Proverbs that there is great wisdom of getting counsel from other people. And that's why you want your parents in your life, your mentors in your life, pastors in your life, teachers and preachers in your life who are giving you wise counsel. But beyond common wisdom, because there's a wisdom that is common to man, beyond God's yeses and his no's, choose. Like, are you 39 and after 4 kids, you want another one? Have one. After you've talked to your doctor and talked to some other mothers who are, you know, who've had babies late in life. Okay. How many, you know, am I ready to have kids? Okay. Ask your mom, ask the lady who's older than you in Bible study, because there's common wisdom, because the Bible doesn't say, when is it time to have kids? What the Bible does say is be fruitful and multiply. What he doesn't say is the when, partially because you get to choose. What if he has put into your heart a desire like to build a company? That is a desire. Okay. And it, you know, common wisdom that if I pause right now and have a baby, I'm going to have a baby. But if I pause right now and have a baby, that would compete with the desire that God has given me to build this business. So I'm 23 or I'm 27 and I've got some time. I've got a year, two, three before I have to have a baby, before I start feeling like maybe my biological clock is going to start ticking down on me. Then guess what he's given you the ability to do? Choose. Yeah. Now, I would say that if you are single and you're trying to figure out which guy, you know, which is the guy, well, there are some things that God has already put in place. Is he a believer? Does he love Jesus? You know, common knowledge. This is where wisdom comes in. Does he love his mother? does he take care of his finances? What does his home look like? You know, what are his friends look like? Because you can tell about a person by who they're around. Proverbs speaks to this, but this is common knowledge. None of these say, is this the guy? However, there are lots of things in the word that will tell you if he's not the guy. And then hopefully you have wisdom around you, which the Bible encourages us to have, which would say, oh yeah, this is a good guy. Mm-hmm. But then your heart has to tell you if this is the guy for me.
Yeah.
So some of the ways God answers our prayers are layered. It's the word, it's wise counsel, but it's also what he's put in us, who he's created us to be. And does this decision stay on the path that God has put me on? But once you look at all of those things, then a lot of these things that we're stressing over, God is like, just pick, just pick, just pick and live. Because anything that's going to give me glory, which is what 2 Corinthians 1 says, if I haven't said no, then it's a yes. And you get to choose, because that's a part of the creative power that I gave you when I made you in my image.
I love that so much. One of the biggest decisions, if you look down the line and everything that happened afterwards, it was huge. But also, like, I feel like God was going to, like, I don't know. I couldn't have messed up God's plan. But one of the biggest decisions where I just was like back and forth and back and forth was pretty quickly after college. And part of me wanted to, I had just done a long internship in college ministry, and I loved it. I loved it. And I felt like this is what I'm supposed to do with my life, like invest in women and be in college ministry. And I thought I was going to go to seminary, and that was my plan. And, you know, that was kind of this one path that I had sort of started walking down. But then at the same time, someone brought to my attention this, you know, year-long mission trip that I could do. And it like lit up my heart in so many ways, and it was totally the risky choice. And like, I had no idea how I was going to look on a resume or if I was ever going to get a job afterwards. And like, I wasn't going to be making any money. I was going to be losing money. And I mean, there were all these like logistical things. And I was so stressed out. Like, what does God want me to do? Does he want me to stay in college ministry and go to seminary and do that? Or does he want me to go on this trip? And the thing is that, like, either one of those things fit with who he made me to be. And either one of those things would have totally brought him glory. And really, he let me pick. And in some ways, I was kind of mad about that because I kind of would rather have God give me like a step-by-step plan that I can follow, you know, like foolproof. But I think that part of him like growing me up was saying, you know, yeah, you get to choose this. And I mean, I ended up going on the trip, and so much of what, like, I mean, he's done so many amazing things in my life since. And, you know, that's how I met my husband and so many different things. But I also know that he would have really blessed the other option as well. And like, really, truly, either one of those things would have brought him glory. And so he let me pick. And it's stressful to pick, but it, I mean, relying on counsel and, you know, like my own wisdom and my own desire, you know, like kind of looking at who he made me to be helped a lot. But I just feel like making decisions on your own is stressful, but I think it's an important part of us growing up. Like, it would be crazy if your kids went to you every day and were like, "Mom, do I eat cereal for breakfast or do I eat toast?" You're like, "I don't know. They're both carbs. You should get some protein and some fruit, but you can pick," you know, like, I don't care. That's super helpful. Thank you for that, Crystal. Yeah.
And the thing is, we have to trust that if we pick wrong, let's just say wrong, just totally wrong. My dad always says, and I love this saying, that God can hit a bullseye with a crooked stick. God causes all things, all means all, to work together for good, for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Which means that if you make a decision that later in life you think, "Man, if I could do this differently again, I would do X." That means that you can believe that God can still get you to where he wants you to go with the decision that, in your opinion, was not necessarily the A decision. Because sometimes there's nothing else to do other than live a little bit and realize that hindsight is 20/20, right? And we don't have the benefit of hindsight when you are 20 or 25, you know, and that's why wise counsel is important. But the thing is, when you have that hindsight and you look back and you say, "Man, if I could do this differently," there are two things to do with that. Number one, you know, make yourself available to somebody that's behind you to teach them the lessons that you learned so that they don't have to learn them the hard way. But the second thing is when you look back with gratitude, knowing that God took the decisions that even the ones you would do differently, and he still carved out his plans for your life with the decisions that you made, and he can do that. I am writing and speaking not because I wanted to be. I always thought I'd write maybe when I was 60, when my kids were grown, and I would know who I could use as an illustration, like which kids turned out okay, you know, if I wanted to mention them in a book, right? I wrote my first book when I was in the first grade. I was in a talented and gifted program, and they had us write a book. You know, the writing was on construction paper, and the covers were laminated cardboard. I have that book. My mother gave it to me. I have always been a writer. My plan was not to write a book in my mid to late 30s. That wasn't my plan. I had college to kindergarten happening at home. And my dad said, that's why I said 4.5 books, because my dad said, "Hey, I'm writing a book for women. Would you like to join me?" And I said, "No, not really, because I'm busy." And he said, "Really, I'm really going to use your help because I want to have a woman's vantage point in this book." Now, I want you to understand something. I had always thought maybe I'll be a writer one day, but that's not what I was actively choosing. I was actively choosing to be a mom at home with my kids. My husband was traveling a lot, and I had a corporate job in institutional money management, CPA. So all of the things. And I said, "I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to stay home with the kids because one of us has to look the kids in the eye." And so that was what I had chosen to do. So when my dad said, "Hey, do you want to write this book?" I was like, that's not what I'm doing. This is not where I'm going. I'll do that one day. That's not my plan. While I had been home with my kids, because I am who I am, I'm an Enneagram 3, I started a blog and I was teaching myself web design and just some basic graphic stuff and was writing. And so when my dad said, "Hey, do you want to write?" I said, "Well, I don't have anything." He said, "Well, don't you have a blog?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, let me have my editor look at your blog and see if there's anything there." I was writing to make my days matter, because it's difficult when you've been in the corporate world and you're home with kids and you're changing diapers and when is this ever going to end? And I was looking for the life in my own life and was jotting down what I would want to remember later about my life. And I had no idea that many of those words would be put in that book. Here's the other thing that happened about the timing. My husband, a couple years before that, had had some health challenges. And over the last 10 years, he's had a lot of health challenges. I did not know that when my dad asked me to write that first book, that that was my entry into being an author, into being a speaker, and that being the livelihood that supports my family today, because my husband isn't able to work. But he knew that. You see what I'm saying? He knew that. And so all along the way, when I was writing my little blog and talking about, we did the letter F today and F is for the fire truck and the fire truck came down our street today. And I was taking pictures of my kids and I was talking about how God can take the little things in your life and put big things in your life for you to connect the dots, even when you weren't intending to. That was the lesson. But that was because I was in a season where I was just trying to make little joys and recognize the little joys in my life. I didn't know what he had planned, but I was following my heart and saying yes to the thing that I wanted to do. And I remember my family being like, you're always on the computer. You're always, and I was like, yes, but I love it. And I was committed to showing up for things that I loved and saying yes to the things that God put in me, not knowing that he was going to take the yes of what he put in me and put a whole, create a whole nother path for me. So I want you to know that when you just say yes to the things that are in front of you, even though they are totally disconnected from other things that you think God may be doing in your life, you never know. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has in store for those he loves. What you have to do is show up. Show up to the things he's put in your heart. Show up to the things he's put in your head. Show up to the dreams and the desires that he's given you. Show up to prayer, to talk to him about those things, to lay your plans at his feet. And trust that even though you may be aiming in one direction, and God may be aiming in another, he can take the things that you had no idea he could use and weave them into the plan.
Oh my gosh. Crystal, I am so grateful for you. I just feel like you have so many of the things that you've said today are so needed by all of us. And so I'm just incredibly grateful for your wisdom and for your counsel. And just kind of last but not least, would you pray for us?
Yeah, sure. Sure. Lord Jesus, I'm so grateful for this gift of prayer that we can talk to you about anything at any time, but you know, just for any reason we can connect and communicate with you. I thank you for the fact that you have gone first. You always go first. We love you because you first loved us, the word says. And so you went first and you made sure that over thousands of years that the book we call the Bible has everything you want us to know for life. You told us to study ourselves, to show ourselves approved workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you've been so great to give us the word of truth. And you're speaking first to us every day when we show up and engage in your word. But then you've invited us to communicate to you as well through prayer, and that you've invited us by example through the Lord Jesus Christ to pray often, to make space for that, to make space to talk to God, because in talking to you, we connect. We're connecting our hearts and our minds with you. We're acknowledging what's really on our minds and bringing those things to you. And when we do that, then we are inviting you. We're inviting you to talk to us about the very things that are concerning you. So we have the Bible as a layer. Then we have our communication with you as a layer. And you've given us that gift of talking to you at any time. So I just pray that for every girl who's listening to this podcast, that you would allow her to engage in prayer, that Holy Spirit, you would continue to draw her near, to prompt her to remember you, even when the days get busy and the mornings are crazy, that she would pause, even if it's just, you know, in little ways, to talk to you and to make known her desire to be in relationship with you. And then would you meet her? Would you show up in the craziest of ways, the craziest of ways, so that she knows that not only is she talking to you, but that you're hearing, and that she can experience what it is for you to talk back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You guys, isn't Crystal amazing? I just love her and I love this conversation, and I am so happy I got to share it with you. One thing I wanted to mention is that I know we talked about a lot in today's episode. And so if you want to find the links to any of those things or quotes or pieces of scripture, all you have to do is go to my website. It's girlsnightpodcast.com, and for every episode, we have a blog post with the show notes. All the links will be there for everything we talked about, quotes, scripture, like I said,
including all of Crystal's contact info so you guys can follow her, so you can get her new book, and so that y'all can be friends. The other thing I wanted to mention is that if you haven't had a chance yet, it would mean so much to me if you would take a quick second to leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We've gotten so many amazing 5-star reviews from y'all, and you've left the sweetest comments. I cannot tell you how much it means to me. And also, it helps out the podcast more than you can imagine. So, if you haven't yet, please take just one quick second to leave us a rating and a review. Thank you so much. All right, friends, that's all we have for today. But we'll be back next week with another episode of Girls Night, and I'm so excited about this next one. I'll see you then.